If you're a golf lover, join in on fun discussions about golf from the perspective of two plugged-in Minnesota golf geeks, Brad Cole and David Branstad. This is 10,000 Swings.
Hello and welcome back to 10,000 Swings. It is Sunday, July 18th, 2021. I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branstad.
And with us, we have the one and only Phil Mackey.
Sorry, I should have jumped in there. I was I froze. I was like Louis Oosthuizen on the early part of the back nine there. Just like the pressure just dialed up and got to me there in that moment, and I'll be better next major.
I thought you were trying to do a reenactment of Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers when he talks about how he doesn't want to do the awkward dating. Do I go in for the kiss, or do you do the hug, or, you know?
That's pretty much Louis on Sunday at every major since 2010.
I
don't know. What should I do? Should I be aggressive? I don't know.
Can you just close the door, sir? Thank you. Yeah. So welcome to 10,000 Swings, everyone. I want to remind you that 10,000 Swings is brought to you by Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual. For whatever financial questions you have, call Jarrett today, 612-209-4523. Check out his website at jarrettyalen.com. You can do retirement planning, life insurance, plan golf trips to Europe, maybe close in the final round of a major. We don't know. He's never had the opportunity. So maybe he's a better closer than Louis. We're not sure, but
totally would be. Yeah.
The guy knows how to close. So I'd give the guy a call today. Maybe he can play the next major. But we've got a great show this week. We're going to discuss the Open Championship, hopefully talk about the Minnesota State Open, the 3M Open. So many opens. I feel like open, Sunday. Good stuff. But Phil, we can't wait to get into this major with you. Colin Morikawa, what can we say?
I mean, I told you guys on Friday morning in the group text thread, who do you like? So I'm cheating because we're a day into this thing, but we might as well just get into it. We were talking off mic. So I was born in 1985, and I feel like anyone who was born in the mid-1980s grew up, like if you got into golf in the 90s, like maybe Fred Couples hooked you, maybe there were some other guys, but like Tiger Woods hooked me and millions of other people. And we've been riding the Tiger Woods wagon for 20 plus years. And I've always, like the last 5 or 6 years, I've just been sort of searching and thinking about, I love golf even without Tiger, but I really want someone that I can just like live and die for every single major and sweat. And I don't know who that is. And about a year and a half ago, I saw Colin Morikawa for the first time. Loved his demeanor, his game. I love that he doesn't hit the ball. Like, he's like outside the top 100 in driving distance on tour, and I think that's kind of cool that he just works every other part of his game. And this might have solidified it. Like, I was living and dying with Colin Morikawa every single shot the whole weekend. This isn't like when Americans pick their favorite European soccer team and it's just random. Like, I think I've fallen in golf love with Colin Morikawa over the last 18 months, and that dude's for real. That dude can golf.
All right, so here's the deal. I'm 1980, so I love Freddie, but I am Tiger. I'm the same. I want Tiger to come back. I'm all Tiger, but I'm still in the search of this. Okay, with that said, listen to this. Morikawa's first 50 PGA Tour events, right? 5 wins, 2 majors, both major debuts, and only 8 starts. 4 top 10s in majors, $14 million earned, okay? He joins Nicklaus and Bobby Jones as the only ones to come from behind in the final round in 2 majors under the age of 25.
Wow.
He joins only Tiger in winning the Open and the PGA before age 25. He started on tour with 22 straight made cuts. Only Tiger has surpassed that.
Wow.
With 25. This year's majors: T18 at the Masters, T4 US Open, PGA and Open wins. No 3 putts this week. Enjoy your $2 million. I mean, this guy is not going anywhere.
Yeah, so he wins the PGA in 2020. He wins the Open Championship in 2021. Like, can we just count on Colin Morikawa to win one major a year? Is that just something realistic? Like, he's 24. Is he, by the age of 40, is he going to be, like, you know, right at the tail end of his career, trying to break Tiger's record? Will he get to Tiger's record? That's the question, Phil. What do you think?
Wow. You guys are there with that right now. I guess I hadn't thought of it through that prism, but But I think, all right, the biggest thing with some of the other guys in this conversation, like Brooks Koepka is still pretty young and he's got a handful of majors already, but he's already physically deteriorating. Like that body and that, like the injuries he's already sustained, he's playing on one leg for half the year this year, right? So I think, like, you can pretty much, in terms of longevity, who's got a chance to get it to double-digit majors over the next 20 years, right? I think you can rule out Brooks because of physical stuff. I think you can rule out Bryson because there's just no way you can play like that and sustain it into your late 30s and 40s. And there's some other guys that are just like Rory. I think he's stalled out too much. I don't see Rory going on some run of, like, winning eight majors now in the next 10 years. And Morikawa's game and just like the, I'm not going to say the ease of his game because that's oversimplifying it, but like he doesn't put a ton of physical strain on his body like Tiger did and like the other guys I mentioned. So could I see him just sort of picking off a major every other year for the next 20 years? And yes, I think I could. I'm not going to go like 15 majors yet, but I'm going to say that he definitely is on track to win one every year or every other year as long as he stays mentally and physically fit. How about that?
So right now, right, so if you have to pick one, John Rahm or Colin Morikawa, who's going to have more career majors? Because you recently said you doubled down on John Rahm recently.
I love Rahm. Rahm's amazing.
And then he went out and won a major. And now that Morikawa went out and won a major, I want you to tell us, like,
I'm on a roll. I picked Rahm at the Open too. Well, like two for two.
You're really good at picking guys like halfway through the first day. Yeah. And I want to acknowledge how important that is. Like, my dad is great at that. He'll tell me after like an NBA Finals game, he's like, oh yeah, for sure they were going to win that one. I'm like, well, can you let me know before that game? Yeah. Maybe we could do something with said information. So, John Rahm or Colin Morikawa, at the end of their careers, who has more wins?
I think
majors. Just major wins.
Yeah, for sure. I think, all right, this is just, I want you guys to tell me if my analysis is wrong here, because I do love the fiery spirit of John Rahm. But like today, I think sometimes it costs him. Like he's flashing glances at fans and he's riding the roller coaster in almost every round, and you know, he's overreacting to missed putts. You know, oh my god! And I think, again, he's a roller coaster guy. I don't think you can be a roller coaster guy and rattle off like 8, 10, 12 majors. Pretty much impossible for almost anyone to rattle off that many majors if you look at the last 50 years. But I love Morikawa. He's just a terminator. Like he's expressionless. He's mostly steady in terms of fairways and greens, and he's not going to win every tournament, but he's just going to like come at you steadily with consistent fairways, greens. He's become a better putter, it seems like, over the last 6 months or so. So I would say Morikawa, but that's total recency bias too, because we just watched him play this amazing four rounds against the best players in the world. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. Morikawa reminds me of the way Woods plays golf. It's never flashy, but when Woods would shoot 67, 68, 4 days in a row, guess what you do? You win. Now, I think actually Morikawa's got the better game to go lower than probably Tiger did at some days. You know, Tiger was never famous for going low on Thursday, Friday. He might throw an occasional 64 in there, but he looked, you know, you talked about the poise and the control he had on Sunday. Well, that's what he had. Rahm, and I think I've said this before, Rahm plays pissed off golf.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of the FU to the, like, hey, you guys doubt me? Here's what I'm going to come out and do. Which I get. You have to have a little bit of that fire in you. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Morikawa. I think Rory's still going to go on a run here. Is he going to come out and win eight majors, like you said, Phil? No, I don't think he is. Bryson's career is like playing Mario Kart. I mean, get hot early, and then it's like blue shell, red shell, lightning. Next thing you know, you're in sixth place.
Also, you've got to have a little emotional intelligence. Like, you can't just shoot poorly on Thursday and come out and rip your sponsors and then have to apologize. Like, dude, just like relax and be an adult once in your life, for God's sakes.
Right.
You know, one thing that's funny, I started looking at this leaderboard and thinking about, like, man, you know, going into next week, obviously we have the 3M Open coming up, and I go, you know, so many of these names sound so familiar. And I don't know if you remember this, but in 2019, the first year of the 3M Open, Colin Morikawa took second place with Bryson DeChambeau, and they lost to Matthew Wolff. And Victor Hovland was, he finished 13th. Hideki was 7th. That was all in the first year of the tournament. And it's funny to see how, like, people didn't know those names, right? They literally, all three, Hovland, Wolff, and Morikawa, all just came right out of college. And Hollis Kavner must have said it a million times, like, go watch these kids. We might never get them back. Like, they are going to be superstars, but they're all, and look at how far they've gone. And then obviously with Bryson being in the mix, he had already been a little bit more of a bigger name. But it's just, to me, I look at Morikawa, and all I can think about is sustainability. And that golf swing is sustainable. That body is sustainable. I look at John Rahm, and I think he's going to eventually have some, you know, some knee issues with how he lashes. I think that, obviously, DJ's had health issues. Brooks has had health issues. Tiger, Rory, J-Day, like, all those guys have had health issues. There's nothing that Colin Morikawa does that makes me think he's not going to play until he's 40 and just swing smooth every day.
Yeah, you also, like, the other thing to consider here too is, and I don't know, I'll pull up Tiger's list of major wins here so I can get this officially right, but like you need to rattle off a bunch in your 20s and you know, stockpile those trophies in your glass case, cuz once you get to be 34, 36, 40, like, there's going to be a new influx of great young players that are going to come in and they're going to get their majors, and so, like, you have to take advantage of this time period where you might be healthier, you might have more stamina over the course of 4 days, right? Like Dustin Johnson's, what is he? He's got to be like 40 years old at this point. You know, he's been around long enough.
Yeah. Yep.
Is he really ripe to win like 6 or 7 more majors in his 40s? No. He's, you know, he might get a couple more. Maybe I could see him winning like 3 or 4 more. But Colin's 24. By the way, Spieth was interviewed and asked about Colin Morikawa after his round today, and even Spieth was like, how old even is he? Is he like 21? I don't even know. Is he like? And he was like asking the reporter, he's 24? All right, still pretty good for 24, 2 majors, which is kind of a backhanded compliment. Didn't Spieth win a couple like at 21, if I recall right?
So, correct.
Yeah.
So here's the interesting part about when we talk about physical shape and bodies. What was Tiger's body like early on when he was making big runs? He was slender. He was sleek. If you talk to any of his golf instructors, they're all going to say, regardless of what you think of his instructors, they all had a different version of Tiger to work with. And Tiger started bulking up. The swing got a little bit more violent. All of a sudden, injuries occurred. So if Colin can just kind of curb that, not fall into this distance trip that everybody's on, and just do what he's doing, boy, welcome to a easy $100 million career.
You know, and Morikawa has such a smooth swing, and when I think of smooth swings, the first thing I always think of, well, besides Phil Mackey, is Louis Oosthuizen. and Louis, we could do an entire show on the Louis Blues once again, but Phil, you made a mention about age, and Louis is literally the rewriting the book on how to defy age. You know, he's 38 now, and in his last 3 years, in 2019, 2020, and 2021, he has 5 top 10s in majors. But we're not talking about top 10s, Phil. We're talking about wins. And it just doesn't seem like Louis, when it comes down to it, I mean, he had every opportunity to, you know, on Friday, like, he had opportunities all week to just kind of pull away with this thing. It was his.
Yeah.
Louis had it until he didn't. And it's getting so hard to watch, don't you think? Like, you know, he's always going to be a player, but he just doesn't close the deal.
And he kind of knew it too. Like, once things started going the wrong way and he's looking at the leaderboard and, oh my God, Spieth rattled off like -5 over 7 holes, and Morikawa, like, it's got to be tough too when Morikawa is either in your group or one group ahead or behind you, and he's just making these like soul crushing 8, 9, 10 foot par saving putts for no reason. Like, okay, all right, this is the hole where he's finally going to drop a stroke, right? And it's like, no, he just sank a 12 footer for par, just crushing your dreams, you know.
But who else did that?
Yeah,
that's what Tiger did. I mean, through his entire career, and I'm
always.
I hate to go out and say that, like, this was Tiger-esque, because obviously I put him on a pedestal higher than anybody. But this is getting close to the way he played.
I thought a pivotal hole today was hole 7. So par 5, Louis and Morikawa are both greenside. And Morikawa chips it to a foot, makes his birdie, moves on. Louis is in the pot bunker. And, you know, it seems like the most common thing to do is make sure you hit it high out of those bunkers, right? Get it over the lip so you might chunk it because you're not going to want to blade it. Well, Louis blades it across the green into the other pot bunker. And it was like, it was so weird because, like, the most common mistake for most people would be, hey, I got to make sure I get down on this, get it airborne. I might chunk it, but I'll have a 30-footer for birdie. If I miss it, tap in for par, move on. He skulls it across. He was lucky to say bogey. Yeah. And it was only a 2-stroke swing. But it was like that just, you could just see all of the wind just right out of the sails. And we've seen it so many times with Louis. He doesn't give up. Like, he still hangs, but he knows he's not going to win at that point. You can see the expression on his face, and he could just, I don't know. It's hard to watch at this point because it's like, man, this guy could have so many majors, and he has one. And he still hasn't won in America, which is even crazier. Yeah. Maybe the 3M Open is his week. Maybe next week he'll get it done here. I don't know. I'm guessing he probably is going to missed the cut. I don't see him being interested after what happened this week.
No, he's going to be an MC this week is my prediction. He didn't talk to anybody after the event. He posted something on Twitter 90 minutes later, basically just thanking the Open and the fans. And that was, I think this one really stunk. That's twice now this year. And, you know, at some point he's human. This is going to affect him. Sports is tough.
Yeah, no, it was, and I don't know, it was tough to see that. I thought Spieth played extremely well all week. I mean, he just got outplayed, right? Like, he just said, he goes, I played well enough to win this week, but clearly someone else played better. I always love that. I played well enough to win. Well, you didn't, because you would have had to shoot 3 strokes better to beat Morikawa, but, you know, 15 would have gotten you to a playoff. I thought that was funny, but what a great leaderboard, right, Phil? Like, I mean, my gosh, you got Morikawa, Spieth, Rahm, Oosthuizen, Dylan Fratelli, kind of the, normally he's, you know, shows up at the John Deere Classic, and instead he shows up at the Open the week later. Brooks Koepka, with a Rory McIlroy-esque, Saturday I shoot 72 to put myself out of it, but on Sunday I shoot 65 to backdoor a T6.
And he's pissed off about it.
Yeah. You know, DJ did the exact same thing as Brooks. It's kind of scary. You know, those two roomed together a lot, and they did almost the exact same scorecard for the week. We had Bobby McIntyre, the lefty from the European Tour, was a top 10 this week. Scotty Scheffler played well. Hovland, again, like, it was a really, really strong leaderboard. Shane Lowry, T12 in his title defense. I was impressed. Like, I thought it was pretty good. What did you guys think of Royal St. George's and the event as a whole? What was your kind of takeaway?
It was a blast. I think, obviously, if there would have been some more, if there was a day or two where the winds would have gotten up to, you know, that's the thing. You never know with the Open. You know, the Open can be 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts for 3 days and rain and cold conditions and everyone struggling to get to 2 or 3 under par. But it was pretty tame weather-wise, and so once these guys figured out just the texture and the slower speed of the greens, it felt like it was just like ripe for 65s and 66. I mean, you could look, like, today, for instance, even with Sunday pins, the amount of guys that went and shot 66, 65, Bryson DeChambeau shot a 65 today. There was a handful of guys. I think Ricky Fowler even shot a 65 today to pull up into, like, the top 50. So it was definitely, like, ordinarily, if you would have told me, yeah, these guys are going to be mostly pin-seeking and, like, battling to get to 13, 14 under at a major, I'd be like, ah, I want the course to hold up more. But it was still, it was tough enough, and you saw enough meltdowns when drives went wayward into the second cut, or when who was it, Shane Lowry, who got into a pot bunker on the back nine and then just had to, like, basically chip the ball into the middle of the pot bunker, and then, like, that type of stuff I love the Open for, because you don't see that type of stuff at any other major usually.
Yeah, I think
see,
it was
that's
loud.
What I love the Open for is I miss the winds. I miss the – I want to see people pitching out backwards out of bunkers. I think that's a blast. So here's one thing I like to do with events, and, Brad, I'll put you on the spot for this one. I love looking at who's in last place for these. Okay, and what they shot.
So making the cut and then struggling on the weekend.
No, missing
DFL.
Okay. We're talking DFL here.
Okay. Oh, boy. I'm already seeing it right now. Oh, boy. All right,
so DFL for the Open this – I'm gonna go to this and the Barbasol this week, too. DFL for the Open this week was plus 17 through Thursday, Friday, right?
Phil Mickelson was very close to DFL, by the way.
Yeah, he was not far off. Patrick Reed, I believe, missed the cut as well. Smiley Coffin was 21 over at the Barbasol, and he opened with an 87.
What?
Opened with an 87. The next closest to him was plus 6 that missed the cut.
What?
All right, Brad, where are you at? Can you hang with this?
No. I can't either. No, that to me, that's just – it's disrespectful at that point. Like, I think I could probably play a few holes even with Smiley. But, you know, he's going to shoot 87 at the Barbasol. I'm probably going to shoot a 94. And, you know, and that's because I'm going to hole out a few coming in. And like you said, Brandy, like you talked about the Open Championship. I mean, Will Zalatoris, WDs, would we have Dayan Lawson with the 80-77? I would say I'd be pretty thrilled if I had broken a 100 either day. Because you know that I'm going to get into one of those pot bunkers, and I'm going to start waggling, and I'm going to, like, I'm one of my waggles, I'm going to hit the back of the pot bunker, and then there's going to be some sort of, like, weird penalty where I go forward, and it hits myself, and then I've got another penalty, and then I got to figure out how I'm going to handle that, and then I lose my mind, and I just break down, and then I'll six-putt, and this is how I play golf. So I need a 6,000-yard course that's pretty flat. A little bit of trouble is okay, but pretty flat, not a lot of undulation, and then I have a chance to break 80. I am the definition of reverse sandbagger, by the way. Like, I own a 3.2 handicap, and I can't break 80 anywhere but Rum River Hills National. And so it
shoots 62 on Rum River Hills, and then shoots 83 everywhere else.
I mean, seriously, it's the biggest falsified handicap. It's like, it gives me such a false sense of how good I am at golf. It's embarrassing. So yeah, anyone that looks at the Open or the Barbasol is like, oh, I could have shot that. I mean, maybe on your best day, but I tell you what, it is so much harder than we all think. And poor Smiley, you know, Smiley, just remember, where were we at, like, 3 years ago when Smiley was in the final group at the Masters? And yes. And he's going on boy trips with Spieth and JT and Fowler, and now they probably don't even have his phone number anymore. Like, this poor guy.
Jeez. Take him off the group thread. Just
do you? Smiley Coffin has been removed from the group. I mean, this poor guy. Like, you just want to see him go out and win something, anything, just get it going again. And the interesting part, David, is did his decline coincide with his signing with Natural Light? You know, he's officially sponsored by Natty Light. And do you think that maybe it was maybe before he was drinking, like, Coors, or maybe Corona Premier, sponsor of 10,000 Swings? Maybe he was drinking Corona products, and all of a sudden he goes, you know, I got the money from Natty Light, I got to go there, and now he can't break 80. I don't know. It's
part
crazy.
Of the endorsement. Like, okay, you have to shotgun 5 Natty Lights before you're around, all right, and try and break 80. Go.
So basically, Natty Life is just that's the downfall of all of us.
It's probably a great time to remind our listeners that our show is brought to you by Corona Premier, new product from Corona, 90 calories, 2.6 carbs, really the perfect golf course beer to drink, very light, especially when you have these 90-degree days. Probably don't want to choke down something real thick and heavy. So Corona Premier, try it out today. It is not Natty Light. I can confirm that Corona Premier does not taste like Natty Light.
You're guaranteed to shoot under 80 if you drink Corona Premier on the course. That's right. They have it in writing on the box on the case. So check it out.
So, yeah, I mean, that's great, though, Brandy. I love it when you pick on the guys that finish last. That's really a nice touch.
I found this, by the way, just to back to the Morikawa majors thing. So if you want to flirt with history, because it's always like every time a new guy comes in hot, like Rory when he wins majors at a young age, and Spieth, Koepka, you start doing math. I'm like, all right, well, okay, he's this old, and how many would he need to get to double digits, which we haven't seen, you know, Tiger and nobody else. So Jack won 8 majors by the age of 31. Tiger won 10 majors by the age of 31. So basically, like, you got to do all your damage between your early 20s and by the time you turn 31. Not that you obviously can't win majors past the age of 31, but you're not going to rack them up in bulk past the age of 31 if Jack and Tiger weren't. And by the way, Jack and Tiger against a lot of weaker fields in their 20s, you can make a case, than you're going to see now. So he's got to rack a bunch up in the next like 6 or 7 years, Morikawa.
I think Jack, even as he's come out and said this, goes, when I was playing majors, he had to beat like 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
There are only about 5 people capable of actually winning majors. And if he could beat those 5, like, he's going to win. I think Tiger was probably like that early on, and now towards the later stage of his career, no, there's 60 people out there capable of winning majors. And I'd have to look this up quick. I'm not going to find it fast enough. I want to say on the PGA Tour, the average golfer kind of peaks or levels off at like age 33.
Yeah.
So yeah, like to your point, Phil, like you've got to win this stuff in about a 10-year period when you hit it hot out of college on tour.
Yeah. Yeah, who are the 5 for Tiger? Like, it was Sergio for a while. It was Phil, Retief Goosen for Vijay Singh for a 5-6 year stretch.
Yeah, Big Easy was still around. Ernie Els.
I mean, obviously Bob May was probably the biggest one on his mind. Wai Yang probably should have been more on his mind. How about Rich Beam? Another Beam one that maybe should have been in the top 5 that wasn't. For Tiger.
Hey, don't forget Hal Sutton there for a couple years too.
I love it. you know what's interesting? Brooks said, what did he say? It was majors might be the easiest ones to win. Remember when he said this a couple years ago?
He said this after the PGA.
Okay, buddy.
156 in the field. You figure at least 80 of them I'm just going to beat. From there, you figure about half of them won't play well. So you're down to maybe 35. And then from 35, some of them just pressure is going to get to them. It only leaves you with a few more. And you just got to go beat those guys, which is so funny because, you know, he hasn't won many since he said that. And I just think it's classic karma, right? Like, yeah, this is pretty easy because I won a couple. And then it really just kind of
at least we know with Brooksy that he loves his swing right now. Loves his driver. Love my swing.
Loves
my
driver. His driver.
Can we talk what troll level he was on this week? I mean, this guy is taking petty to a whole nother level. Like, his trolling game is so on point. And maybe he's just not focused. Like, Colin Morikawa is sitting here like, these guys are over here worried about the PIP. They're worried about, you know, saying this about this person and making their companies mad and, you know, dropping their caddies and all this stuff and praising their caddies and all this. And Colin Morikawa goes, I'm just going to win another one. Like, see you guys, you know, like just I'm here to play golf.
Caddy, he had like the caddy appreciation post on Instagram. It was brilliant. I just love it.
His troll level, like I wonder if Brooks Koepka and Jenna Sims sit it down at night with like a 6-pack of Mick Ultra and just think of like what can we do to piss off Bryson today? Because we know it's only one tweet away, right? Like,
all right, let's ride an hour and a half on the Peloton, crack some light beer, and troll Bryson on the internet. It'll be great.
It's hilarious. I mean, and they will not stop. And he is just taking this petty thing to a whole nother level. And I know that some stuff has come out that a few years back, Brooks had made comments about the slow play. Bryson came at, I think he went at Ricky Elliott, Brooks's caddy, and said, hey, you know, tell your man to leave me alone or whatever. And I'm pretty sure Brooks is not the kind of guy that's going to take a message from his caddy. And I think that's where he was just like, dude, it's on. Like, I'm just not going to. You got something to say to me, or I think his whole message still is, just play faster.
What happened was is he went at his caddy and said, if he's got a problem with me, have him take it up with me. Yet at the exact same time, he's not taking it up with him.
That's right. And what we really needed to see was, hey, Gilmore, why don't you see me on the 9th green at 9? And instead it was like, hey, caddy, tell him to tell him, you know, psh, psh, you know, some sort of a whispering from fifth grade, rather than these guys just, they need it. The next match has to be Brooks and Bryson, and they need to both, like, just go WWE, right, Phil? Like, we have to have a WWE comment. Like, these two just need to throw down.
Why can't we do, I mean, I know that Phil Mickelson's the organizer of the match, but, like, can't we just tell, can't Phil go on commentary this fall in November and get Brooks and Bryson and, get a couple football players, get a Tony Romo and Pat Mahomes, and let's do it. Let's do it live on TNT with Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson commentating. And maybe one of the holes can just be a mixed martial arts match between Brooks and DeChambeau. The 12th. Like, we're not playing golf on the 12th. These guys are fighting three rounds in an octagon. It's on the green.
I just think it's hilarious. And I do think that, like, Morikawa's just sitting there like, okay, well, you guys just do your thing, and I'm going to stay focused. And I'd love to know what Spieth thinks about the Bryson-Brooks deal. Like, I don't think Spieth's the kind of guy that's going to get into a fight with anyone or puff his chest at anyone. I'd love to know, like, what does Spieth think? What does Rahm? Like, all these other guys have to be talking about it, right? Like, there has to be more chatter on tour about what these goofballs are doing.
Hey, total, like, this is kind of a sidetrack because I just, as we've been talking, and you mentioned, like, Jack Nicklaus said he only had to beat five guys in the majors that he played in, right? And, like, who are the five for Tiger Woods? So the official World Golf Rankings website keeps PDF archives of each week in history going back. So I'm looking at the week of July 25th, so basically this week in 1999 or next week in 1999. And I'm looking at the top 12 players. I'm looking at the top 50, but the top 12 players in the world. Can you guys combine to name all 12 or as many of the 12?
1999.
So 22 years ago this week, Tiger Woods is number one. How many of the other top 12 can you guys name? I'll give you three wrong guesses combined. You guys can work together like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style.
Phil Mickelson.
Mickelson was 11th, yes.
Vijay Singh.
Vijay Singh was 4th, yes.
Branny, do not look this up. You can't cheat. Ernie Els.
Man.
Ernie Els was 7th.
Okay.
You're off to a good start here.
Well, you those were the easy
Brad, you
ones.
Rock this one then.
I will
Sergio Garcia.
None of these names are, like, ooh, all of these names are recognizable. Sergio Garcia had not emerged into the top 12 yet, because this would have been before
David
the
Duval.
99 PGA. Duval was number
David
two.
Duval?
Yep. Duval was two. Soon to be one.
Man, I'm going to start throwing some random ones out here because we don't want people to listen to dead air. I'm going to throw out like a Mike Weir.
No, this is good. This is good.
A Mike Weir or a Len Matisse.
I'm not going to count those. Those are panic guesses.
Man, I'm really
Len
grinding.
Matisse, wow.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of obscure sports. Ooh, quarterly at this point.
There's a couple dudes from across the pond.
How about DL3?
DL3 is third in the world rankings here.
Patrick Harrington.
Patrick Harrington, not in the top 12. Not
David
in the top
Toms.
20. Wow, really? Dude, you are pulling some great names here. David Toms, not in the top 12.
Wait, this is 99 at what? Wait, 99 at what date?
July 25th. So this would have been after the British, probably
before
the PGA.
Before the U.S. Open?
This would have been after the U.S. Open.
Or after the U.S. Open, and then Payne Stewart's got to be in there.
Payne Stewart is 8th. Yep.
How about Colin Montgomery?
Colin Montgomery, yeah, one of the great players to never win a major. You guys, this is good. This is good.
What do we have left?
You've got
okay, so 99. Brad, go Ryder Cup team here. How about Justin Leonard?
Justin Leonard is 12th.
Wait, was Tom Lehman at all involved at top 12 at that point?
He was 26th.
Okay.
Right, just ahead of Brian Watts at 27.
What about Brad Faxon or Paul Azinger?
Wow, the Zinger. By the way, the Zinger was neither one of those guys. The Zinger was all about sort of the, like, the mental fitness of the golfers all day today.
I've got to assume Furyk's in there somewhere. He's got to be, right?
He's 15th. He's just outside of this list.
15th, no kidding.
He's just
Jose
behind
Halson.
Wow. Olathabal, not in the top 12.
Okay.
We'll give you another minute here just for...
No, fun. I think we're good to wrap it up.
All right. Lee Westwood, Mark O'Meara, Nick Price are the ones that you...
Nick Price was still in the mix then?
Yeah. Nick Price, man. I think Price might have won. Didn't he win? He won an Open in there somewhere at an old age.
Can we just give some love to Lee Westwood for longevity? Like, he is still relevant, folks.
And Mickelson and Westwood. Yeah.
That's impressive. Who would have thought in 1999 that they would have still been relevant in 2021, one of them winning a major in 2021, one of them contending in tournaments, and Tiger's not playing?
couple other great names here just on the outside of this. Jeff Maggart, Jesper Parnevik, Freddie Couples, and Steve Stricker also, 21st. Longevity for that guy. Pretty good.
That's good
stuff. Forgot about Jesper Parnevik.
Yeah, that flipped up cap. Good look.
Yep. So, Phil, would you say, in your honest opinion, of the guys that you have to beat today versus the guys you had to beat in 1999, how much stronger do you think it is today? How much harder is it to win a major today? Because it seems like the competition is tougher. Is that correct? Wouldn't you say the quality?
Well, I think it's like baseball, for instance, right? Like, you don't know what you don't know 50 years ago. And so, like, 50 years ago, the guys playing in Major League Baseball were the best players in the world. But then a couple of them get out. Like, look at golf. Tiger Woods looked at the best players in the world in 1998, 9, 2000 and said, a lot of schleppy dudes out here. A lot of all due respect to my good friend Mark O'Meara and some of these other guys, the Hal Suttons, but a lot of beer bellies and just sort of schleppy physiques and guys who smoke cigarettes on the course. I'm going to go and get in the best shape of my life. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be more athletic. I'm going to hit the ball further, and I'm going to sort of ascend above these guys. So, again, this is not to take anything away because Tiger Woods is the greatest golfer of all time. But Tiger Woods basically said, in addition to how skillful I am, I'm going to outwork all of these guys. These guys aren't working enough. I'm going to hit more balls, get stronger, etc. I don't think that exists anymore because I think everyone knows what Tiger did for 15 years. And so these guys are all – they're all using technology. They're all using five or six people in their golf posses to help them with nutrition and fitness and ball striking and distance and putting and everything, right? So because everyone is trying to max out their physical and mental capabilities now, I think it's harder now just because of how much you have to do to play at the top of your game to match everybody else. If it was as easy as, 20 years ago, all right, I have to be really good. I'm just going to outwork everyone and just like put in 100, put in 1,000 more shots in a week or whatever to get more honed. Yeah, so I would say it is harder now. Yeah,
I think it's a really good point. I think you're spot on. And as always, we love major championship chat with Phil Mackey on our show. Phil does need to get rolling, so we'll as we transition to a PXG commercial, which Phil is ready to get his new PXG soon.
Dude, PXG Minneapolis Golfers Paradise, love it. It's amazing.
Phil, we can't thank you enough for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And again, until the next major, it's going to be a while. We might have to have you on for some Ryder Cup talk.
For sure. Let's do a little FedEx playoffs action in a month or two.
Awesome. Thank you, Phil. Good to see you.
Thanks,
so,
Phil.
As we talked about, PXG Minneapolis, the new store in Southdale, proud sponsor of our show. You can go in right now, and they still have some Gen 1 clubs available, Gen 2, Gen 3, Gen 4. They've got irons, fairways, hybrids, wedges, putters, you name it. They've got apparel. Just a really cool experience. There's no other store like this in Minneapolis. Truly the golfer's paradise. They've got launch monitors, the whole deal. Really good fitting experience, and they do great customer service and follow-up as well. So give them a shout today, PXG Minneapolis in Southdale. So, Brandy, as we continue to talk about the Open this week, I was shocked at how many regular PGA Tour members were all over the leaderboard. Wasn't that kind of cool? Like, I feel like it's so often that you see a lot of Europeans kind of all over the board, and it was a lot of PGA Tour players for the most part.
Yeah, it was interesting to see because, first of all, this whole British Open just didn't seem, like we've talked about earlier in the show, like with the lack of weather, with the lack of everything, it didn't seem to have the same luster as a British Open. And I think that was part of it. Like, we're used to seeing this flooded with Europeans on there, and it wasn't this year. I still enjoyed the event. I still think it was fun. Hey, how about Kisner going out today in 2.5 hours and shooting 68?
I mean, let's face it. Is there anything better than playing by yourself and just hit it and chase it, right? And you've got no one in front of you. Like, some of my best rounds of my life have been played in less than 2 hours and 10 minutes walking, just like speed walking, right? And it's just,
yep.
You don't have time to go look for a ball, so you just have to hit in the fairway. You're just going to hit it, and you're just going to go chase it. And that was pretty fun to see for Kiz. I thought there was some interesting parts from this week that kind of threw me off a little. So the announcers, majority of the announcers had to stay in America and announce from here. And I thought it was kind of weird. What were your thoughts on that?
I do think it's weird, and I don't actually understand why. And that's, I guess, my question. Why do the players all get to go? We're kind of, I'm not going to say we're post-COVID completely, but why did they have to stay home? I guess, and maybe you know the answer. I don't. But why couldn't they be there?
I mean, it's the same reason why we had different players from America that didn't go play. I think there's just a lot of different COVID. Well, the announcers didn't choose to stay. I don't know exactly what it was. They talked early in the week about it, and I didn't find the exact reason. But I just thought it was kind of interesting because they had other announcers there, and obviously they had fans there, and they had players there. But some players didn't go because of different COVID things, whatever. I just, again, to me, it just seems kind of crazy. But yet we've lived in a world where, you know, like the Minnesota Timberwolves have announced games from the Target Center when they've been on the road. You know, Jim Pete and Dave Benz have literally announced multiple games from Target Center, even though the Wolves have been playing in Portland or New York. So it's been a very interesting year. I always love when the announcers have walked the course earlier in the day and they can tell you what they think the putt's going to do. That's my favorite. When they say, hey, right, this one's a cup out to the left. He plays it a half cup out to the left and he misses it just on the low side of the hole. And they're like, I told you. You know, I kind of like when they have that experience. It's not that, you know, I'm not saying that I'm craving for Johnny Miller to come back and tell me how he shot 63 in the open in the final round. But, you know, I like it when they've been able to be on the course and kind of feel the flow of it. I just feel like it adds more to the telecast. And I just thought it was kind of a weird thing this week. But we're used to a lot of weird things happening at this point, so nothing really fazes us, I guess.
Yeah, I'm kind of good with Johnny Miller where he is right now. enjoy your retirement. I love Faraday when he gets out there, because Faraday walks that golf course.
Yes, he knows,
the shots, and he truly brings a level of competence that I don't think you see in a lot of other people when it comes to walking the golf course, knowing what that golf course is going to bring that day, and he also knows the game.
And I actually think Dottie does
like that, and Dottie does a really good job too.
I enjoy Dottie. She to me is right there with Faraday from a knowledge perspective. I just love Faraday because he's always throwing in jokes as well, so it makes it even better. You know, it's like you're not sure if he's being a smart aleck or not, and that accent's just priceless. It's so good. So
you know who else I think is underrated? Those Azinger.
You know, I hear a lot of mixed reviews on Azinger. I hear a lot of mixed reviews on Fell, though. I get it. Anyone that's played, though, I love it. Like, whenever they've been a player, right, and Azinger's obviously competed at the highest level, to hear his breakdown. But there's plenty of people that, you know, don't necessarily love him, but I still think he's knowledgeable. And it's always good to have people that are knowledgeable.
Here's why I love Azinger, and this is going to go years back. Brad, you probably remember this, being a Tiger fan like I am, but Tiger was doing some weird practice swings with this little loop in his follow-through, and Azinger basically on air just called him out on it. I was like, that's a bunch of BS. Like, what are you doing there? Like, everything you're trying to do there is a byproduct of what you're trying to do prior to that. So I appreciate his honesty when it comes to that stuff. I can see the mixed reviews on Fall, though. I happen to like him, but I can see it.
No, for sure. Everyone's going to have different takes on everything, so that's just how the world works. It was a good week. It was a really fun tournament. I enjoyed a lot of it. And, you know, it was interesting to see how many guys did play well in the final round. You know, I think Xander Schauffele also had a 65. So there's a lot of guys, as we kind of get to the rest of the season, it's like, well, what are they going to do? So we fast forward to the FedEx Cup standings. And I don't have the updated FedEx Cup standings, but through last week, Cantlay had the lead over Harris English, and then John Rahm, then Bryson. Jordan Spieth, fifth in the FedEx Cup. How about that? A guy that at the beginning of the year wasn't even top 100 in the world, right? Justin Thomas in sixth, Victor Hovland, seven, Xander, eight, Kokrak, nine. Morikawa was 10. I'm sure he'll jump up after this week. Brooks and Louis were 12 and 13. They'll jump up a little. So it should be a really fun run. Who do you think, we're here on July 18th, Who do you think is going to win the FedEx Cup in 2021, Brandy? Who's your one pick right now that you say, hey, this is the guy that's going to win it?
I get one pick?
One pick. And I'll tell you mine right now. It's John Rahm.
So I was going to pick John Rahm as well.
Okay, there we
but
go.
That is a battle in my head between him and Morikawa.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And we've got Memphis coming up, WGC in a couple of weeks. We've got the Olympics, which is not part of this, but you know, with a lot of different things. And who knows, maybe Louis Oosthuizen is going to move up again next week if he wins at the 3M Open. I'm hoping it happens.
I wouldn't be shocked if Spieth steps into this either.
Yeah, I mean, he's right there already. So it should be a good little finish to the season. And as we've alluded to, you know, there's a lot on the line for these guys. And then we go into basically, you know, by Labor Day, the season's basically over. We've got the Ryder Cup at Whistling at the end of the month, and then it's pretty much done. So kind of weird how quickly it's wrapping up here, but that's how summer goes in Minnesota. I feel like August is always that month where you're like, just don't end, and then it ends. So we're unfortunately...
But here's the problem, Brad, is like, we kind of need August end because I have to get to go for football season. And it's like this catch 22 and this tug of war in my brain of like, I can't have golf season end, but at the same time, I need college football to start. So like, where does that just kind of tug of war in my brain?
No, I get it. It's the things we fight with, first world problems, right?
For sure.
We've added a bit on the show that's called Things They've Tweeted. So Things They've Tweeted features a player or someone involved in golf, and we just kind of do a table read from their most recent tweets. And I tell you what, our guest this week is none other than Justin Thomas. And JT is pretty good stuff. He tweeted today, 4 hours ago, "You know it wasn't a good week of golf when feeding a duck at the end of every day was the highlight. Delight as always at the Open. See you next year." Then 10 hours ago, he said, this is during the tournament. He must have already finished, and he was tweeting about it. "My guess, minus 14 wins outright. Minus 13 is a playoff," which minus 13 would have been a playoff. So pretty good Nostradamus there from Mr. Thomas. Also at that same time, he tweeted and said, "Course was very gettable today, I thought. You could get close to / make a lot of birdies on that back nine. So don't be surprised if somebody shoots minus five or better to get it done. But any bad shots quickly get penalized. Should be fun to watch."
Yesterday he says, "See you tomorrow, friend. I'm going to channel my college/amateur golf vibes and hate you all day tomorrow." Yeah, and Max Homa tweets back, "Piggybacking off JT's fame could really help my PIP tomorrow." Hopefully it helps my hashtag golf too.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it, right? And those two played together today, and it's just funny. I mean, everybody is talking about the PIP. I just, you know, the tour knew they're getting into this when they did it. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, then we start looking locally into what's going on here. And a couple weeks ago, we had the Stendahl family on. So Ryan is a 15-year-old that's going to be a sophomore at Maple Grove High School. Derek is the dad in GM at Rush Creek. And they went out this week and played in the Minnesota Open, in the state Open, and they both made the cut. How cool is that? And in the second round, Ryan shot 66. A 15-year-old that shoots 66 in the state Open. Pretty impressive. And he actually ended up tying his dad and the Gopher coach, Justin Smith, in a tie for 48th. So they all finished a couple over. Pretty sweet stuff. We had a ton of amateurs at the top of the board, which I thought was kind of interesting. It goes to show you just how good the young golfers are in Minnesota. Cecil Belisle from South Mountain Community College, from Red Wing Country Club, recent graduate from Red Wing High School, won the playoff over Derek Hitchner, who went to Pepperdine and plays at Minicata, and then Ben Greif from the University of Minnesota and now member at Olympic Hills. Pretty awesome that those guys all got into a playoff, and you know, very competitive tournament this week, but all amateurs. So I think
so,
there was...
So, Brett, if you look at this, there's only two pros in the top 10 for this event. And
there was five
one,
in the top 27, I think. It was five of the top 27 were pros, and I don't
Conrad
know that we
one,
had...
Two, three, four.
I don't know that we had any club professionals.
We have five in the top 27.
Yeah.
No, you got Cam White in there. You got Brian Hills, Tiziani, Michael Schmitz, and McCain.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, if you look at that, what that says to me, we have no club pros in the top 27 in the Minnesota State Open. And I think, you know, we have professionals, but guys that aren't necessarily running a golf shop every day. I think that just goes to show you how much work it takes to run a golf course and how your focus is, it's just too hard to do it all, right? And it's just such a challenge. But kudos to the amateurs for putting on a show this week.
Especially now, this whole post-COVID or actually in COVID last year, I mean, golf has been crazy. So you work in the golf industry, good luck. I mean,
yeah,
good luck.
It is quite a challenge. And who knows? You know, I don't think we have any other amateurs playing this week in the 3M Open, but I think we do have Angus Flanagan in the field. That is our only amateur, correct?
Angus is in the field, but he's not an amateur anymore.
All right, that's right. Correctly. He just turned pro, so probably
he just
no
turned pro. And then we've got the 3M Open qualifier tomorrow, and there are a few or a handful of AMs playing in that, but they're, you know, that's a deep field for was it four spots?
I think that sounds right. Yeah, no, that sounds
I think
right.
Four spots.
And, you know, as we look forward to the 3M Open week, we want to remind you that 10,000 Swings is sponsored by the 3M Open. So remember what it was like to yell stuff with strangers outside? Well, the 3M Open is open. It's time to be a fan, a golf fan, a Thompson fan, a Wolf fan, a food fan, a get outside fan, sports fan, anything fan. Just come out and be a fan. They have not sold out of tickets yet, and they're still available at 3mopen.com/tickets. So 3mopen.com/tickets. It's this week, this Monday. So starting tomorrow, Monday through Sunday. So you got practice rounds Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the tournament starts on Thursday. It should be a blast. So get out there, go out and cheer on some great golfers. And you know, the field looks really, really good, David. I mean, we just got Tony Finau and Patrick Reed committed in the last week.
Yeah. So not only does the field look really good, let's talk about the 3M Open Compass Challenge here for a second. That's, I believe, Wednesday evening. You got Josh Duhamel, Kyle Rudolph, Annika Sorenstam. You got Barkley, Fitzgerald, Maurer, Thielen. I'm always going to screw up her name. Balionis?
Amanda Balionis.
Yeah, Balionis. I mean, you've got some fun stuff, and there are tickets available for that as well. They're at a little bit more premium, but the 3M Open and Mike Walsh and Hollis Kavner and his staff have gone out of their way to make this an amazing event. So if you want to get back to sports as normal, come out to the 3M Open. This is going to be a blast. It's going to be hot, but guess what? There's no rain, so it's going to happen.
Literally looks like 90 and sunny every day. So the only thing we can pray for is a little wind to keep the fans nice and cool. And who knows, there may be a couple of cold beverages that might be waiting out there for them. So it should be a really good time.
If you guys want to stay nice and cool, come search the fan shop. Come buy some merchandise. It's nice and air conditioned in there. It's been the 60s every single day.
Perfect. Oh, I like it. That's a great plug for the shop that they got set up. And it should be a really, really fun week. So hopefully everyone can get out there and watch the tournament. You know, as we look at this event, who do you think is going to win? Who's your take?
Honestly, I think it's going to be someone we've never heard of before.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. I think, and that's kind of what I like about the 3M Open. Now, this field is getting deeper and deeper as the tournament gets more established, which is really exciting because I don't think we're a low-tier PGA Tour event anymore. I think we're kind of creeping up to mid-tier with some of these commits that we're getting. But I really think, I love the idea that, you know, Michael Thompson won it last year, Matthew Wolf won it the year before. I think we're an avenue for somebody young to get hot to win this. So if I'm going to take the field.
You're taking the field. Specifically, I'm looking at the list of the field. So are you thinking like, you know, Bo Hoag? Are you thinking, you know, MJ Defoe? Who do you think?
Okay, if you want me to make an actual pick, how about Harry Higgs?
Oh, well, that would just make my week.
I know it would. So I'm gonna go with Higgs for you, buddy.
I like it. No, that's great. I mean, you got DJ in the field. You've got, I think we have what, like six of the top 20 players in the world are all in the field. So
yeah, but DJ might take 9 and 18 on Thursday, and then his back is bad.
Oh boy. So we've got DJ, number one player in the world. We've got Patrick Reed, number 9 player in the world. Louis Oosthuizen at 13. And then we also have Tony Finau at 17. Who else is up there? There's a few other names that were, you know, you got Ricky Fowler, you got Sergio. It should be quite a good week. Matthew Wolf. So there's a lot of fun names to follow, and hopefully, you know, it'd be awesome if we could get Angus Flanagan or one of the local ties, maybe a Troy Merritt again, or someone like that, you know, to be up there on top. I think Troy finished top 10 or top 15 the first year of the event. So kind of fun.
Troy did really well the first year there. And one thing just to throw out there for anyone going out to 3M Open this year, unfortunately, everyone's excited to get back to normal. There's no COVID testing. Fans are full blast, but no autographs from players this year.
No autographs. Interesting. Okay.
No autographs. They're just taking some extra precautions when it comes to touches and COVID protocol. So that kind of stinks. But it is what it is. We're just lucky to be back.
Yeah, no, that's good information for our listeners to know if they're going to go out. So I will probably not go out to the event now with my blown up photo of me and Tony Finau and try to get him to sign it. But I'll just wave to him from a distance and we'll call it good. I get they're trying to keep things safe, and I think that's important that the players feel safe. So that's the decision that's been made. But I tell you what, it sure feels good to think about all the fans being out there, because I know we sure missed them last year. So that's really, really good to hear. And yeah, I think as we wrap up the show here, we want to talk about the local businesses that we supported this week. I've got some obscure ones, definitely about as local as they get. So I was on a 4-day bachelor party that concluded today up in Hackensack/Walker, Minnesota. And we went to a place called the Headwaters for dinner. Phenomenal dinner there right on the lake. And then in the morning, we went to Jimmy's family restaurant for breakfast in Walker. Arguably the best country fried steak around. Some people would say that the cinnamon swirl French toast was better, but two great options there. We also frequented the Charlie's Boat Bar, which was pretty impressive. They have a local DJ, and they usually get 300 to 400 people out there dancing every night. It was quite intense. And then the Northern Lights Casino, you know, for stuff, for some entertainment. So there was it was quite the trip. We got to help out all the local businesses. And they all just kind of rolled their eyes when they saw 21 morons coming in for a bachelor party. But we had one heck of a time. The weather was perfect and fun, again, to always go and try to patronize all those local places. Brandy, how about you?
And Brad, how much did you contribute to the Northern Lights Casino this weekend? These were contribute. How much did you support them?
They supported me, so there's nice. It's nice to know that it's not just a give. Sometimes there's a take as well. So it's I like to have a lot of give and take relationships, but when it comes to casinos, I prefer to be taking. But you know what, they took for some other people, so they ended up okay on the night. There was plenty of losers to keep their lights on. So yeah, Brandy, awesome. any local businesses you supported?
Yeah, I got a really good one this week. Eagle Lake, you call it the Golf Center, Youth Golf Center. I don't know what their actual name is, but Eagle Lake in Plymouth. I took my oldest son, Aiden, and his friend Spencer out, and they played golf. They've got a par 3, I can't remember the birdie course, they call it. And it's this little 9-hole par 3 course. The longest hole is maybe like 85 yards. But the cool part is you can play it under the lights. So we played this at like 8:30 to 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. It's really cool. They also have a lighted driving range there. They also have a little mini course there. And it's not the typical mini golf course that you're used to. It's not clowns and balloons. It's pretty good. And it's actually very, very reasonable. It's also the local first tee location as well. So super cool place. So check out the first tee of Minnesota. Check out Eagle Lake. They do a great job. And I tell you what, you want to light up some eyes on some kids' faces, take them to go play golf at night, because half of them don't even think it's a thing. And Brad, do you know, is there any other lighted golf in the area?
I can't think of any.
Other than Top Golf.
Yeah, it's Top Golf. Otherwise, I think your next you're gonna have to drive a little further down to Port St. Lucie, the PGA Village, to get some lit golf options. So yeah, Eagle Lake Golf Center, awesome place. It really focuses on kids, and they are again with the. Not only are they with the First Tee, they're also through Three Rivers Park District. So, you know, Three Rivers Parks, a lot of people think of it as just like maybe Elm Creek Park or different paths and this and that. And they actually do have multiple golf facilities, not just Eagle Lake. They also have Cleary Lake and Baker National. But Eagle Lake, if you're looking to get kids into the game at a very reasonable price and have a lot of fun, it's right there in Plymouth. You know, it's a really good spot. So I'm glad that you brought that one up. And that, you know, playing at light is about as good as it gets. I know there's many number of clubs in the metro area that do glow golf, which ends up becoming, you know, sometimes some headaches. Yeah, there's usually no shortage of beverages being consumed, so it gets a little dicey out there, you know, driving carts and trees and all that stuff. But very cool to hear that you guys.
We once had an irrigation box taken out from glow golf.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
No, that sounds about right. And actually, you know, I forgot the week before, you're talking about youth golf stuff. I actually took my niece and nephews and my son to Lilliput in Coon Rapids, a little mini golf, and literally hitting it through the clown's mouth. And that's some pretty fun stuff, too. So a lot of different ways to get into golf.
Does Lilliput out, is that the place that also has the bumper boats with the squirt guns?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're talking.
And Lilliput's actually owned in conjunction with the Refuge and the Ponds as well. So it's all the same ownership group. And I think they also had Cheapskate in Coon Rapids where I learned how to roller skate. So a pretty diverse portfolio, if you will, of options to support the crew there. So
how bad were your blisters at Cheapskate?
Let's just say I don't roller skate anymore. Just not really... Not really my thing. I get enough blisters from any kind of physical activity. I don't need more. So we're just going to stay away from that. But a lot of always fun to talk about the local businesses that we can support and trying to keep everyone going. It seems like a lot of places are definitely going in the right direction and kind of getting on the other side of this whole thing. So very, very excited that businesses are doing well. And we're excited to be back on the air and be able to do this show. So can't thank Phil Mackey enough for being back on for another major. It was fun to go through all the majors this year with him, and maybe we'll have some playoff/Ryder Cup talk. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual, PXG, the new store in Southdale, the 3M Open, what's happening this week. Go buy your tickets now. The Meadows at Mystic Lake, great course in the South Metro, and Corona Premier, wonderful light beer to drink on these afternoon days if you're of age. So, these warm afternoons where we're both playing golf.
Just one last thing when it comes to 3M Open, too. Kids 15 under are free. So buy your ticket for your kids.
How about that? 15 and under free. Okay.
15 under free.
So mom and dad, you pay full boat. Kids get in for free. Gives you a little extra money to buy a couple cold beverages. So that's awesome that they're doing that. I'd love to hear that. As always, you can connect with us via email at 10kswings@scorenorth.com. And please subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Score North, wherever you get them, and give us a 5-star rating, please. For episode 22 next week, we will have Adam Chandler, the head pro at TPC Twin Cities, on the show to break down the 2021 3M Open. Excited to go through that with Adam. Until next week, friends, I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branstad.
Cheers.